Loving God, we thank you for your amazing grace, your perfect love, and for all the ways you show them to us. Amen. Hello, my name is Kim. I'm a sinner. I've never been a part of one of those 12-step programs, groups like Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous, but I do know that that's how they introduce themselves at the meetings. My name is Kim. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an overeater. Or here at the church, we could say, I'm a sinner. That's the one feature that united us all when we came here. Our one common bond. We can be rich or poor, white or black, male or female, it doesn't matter. The one thing that every one of us shares is that we're all sinners. Of course, we don't like to introduce ourselves as sinners, even here at the church, right? When I come to church, when I suggested that, I see you putting on your name tags, when I suggested that we get a new roll of name tags that says, hello, my name is Kim, I'm a sinner, nobody even voted on that idea. They knew it was a bad idea. Nobody would use those name tags. And so, when we come to church, though, we like to come as something else, don't we? I like to come to church as Reverend Seitz, associate pastor. Or maybe we like to come to church as Lucy, the lay leader. Or Craig, the worship leader. Or sometimes we put on a suit and a power tie and we come as Mr. Successful Businessman. I've seen teenagers who put on their grungy clothes and come as Mr. or Miss Teenage Rebellion. Most Sundays, I come and I put on my fake smile. And I come as Miss Perfect Life. Because we don't like to come to church as sinners. But that's the only way we ever come to Jesus. Jesus strips off all of our titles and our costumes and our masks until we stand before him with our lives laid bare. We're just like Adam and Eve in the garden. When we stand face to face to Jesus, we realize we are completely naked. The truth is there. And that's when we stop all of our posturing and posing and pretending to be something we're not. Because when we stand before Jesus, we all stand on level ground. I'm just Kim or Lucy or Craig, all of us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Nothing more. Fortunately, as we're standing there, like in the garden, naked, we don't have a chance even to get cold or catch pneumonia when we stand before Jesus, because the Bible says that when we come to him, he clothes us with garments of salvation and covers us with his robe of righteousness. Which is why week after week, all around the world, churches everywhere proclaim the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ forgives sins. After meeting Jesus, we can change our name tags. Hello, my name is Kim. I am forgiven. And though that is true, I have not always found that message to be particularly comforting. Because I thought that being forgiven was sort of like being a convicted felon who had served her time. Or in this case, who had her sentence commuted. I was still guilty. I was still a convicted felon. I was just released from having to pay my penalty. And because I felt that I still had this awful record, I sort of lived a hangdog life, probably like what those convicted child molesters feel like when everyone in a certain radius gets notified when they're planning to move into your neighborhood. I doubt that those people ever have the welcome wagon show up on their doorstep when they move into a new apartment. I bet nobody ever brings them a hot apple pie or a warm loaf of bread. I think the best that those convicted felons ever feel is probably just tolerated, and just barely at that. And for a long time, that's how I thought God felt about me. That God just tolerated me, barely, Because God had to. Because I had sort of aligned myself with His Son. But that's not a very comforting message, is it? God tolerates us because God has to? The church puts up with us because they're supposed to? Is that good news? I'd pray, thank you, God, for putting up with me. I know that I'm really not what you wanted as a daughter, so I'll just kind of lay low and try not to embarrass you too much. It was as if my name tag read, hello, my name is Kim, convicted felon. Grab your kids and run the other way when you see me coming. That was an incomplete understanding of the gospel, and I am not alone in having that incomplete understanding. I've talked to many people who have that same idea about God. I am a forgiven sinner, and that part is true. But there's more to the gospel than just that. We misrepresent God and the good news of the gospel if the only message we relay is that we are just forgiven sinners. It's a terrible lie if we somehow tell people that God just tolerates us because we've chosen to align ourselves with Jesus. Because that is not how God feels about us. Not at all. I'm not just Kim, the sinner, to God. I'm not even just Kim, the forgiven sinner. To God, I am Kim, the beloved. I am loved by God with a love that is so deep, it stands all the way from heaven to right here where we are. And a love that is so wide that Jesus died trying to show us how much He loves us. My name is Kim, and I am beloved. I am loved by God. That's the rest of the gospel story. Our text today is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. God is speaking to the nation Israel, but these words could be spoken to you and me just the same. We could put our names right in the text. And that's even how I'm going to read it. God says, I have called you by name, Kim, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And you, Kim, are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. God says, you are precious in my sight, Lucy, and honored, and I love you. You are precious in my sight, Craig, and honored, and I love you. Each and every one of you, it's like you get a new name tag. You are the beloved of God. You have a new sense of worth, a new standing before God and each other. You are the beloved of God. What more do you need to achieve or prove or acquire? You are the beloved of God. Who else do you need to impress? What other ladder do you need to climb? You are the beloved of God. What are you going to add to your resume that will ever top that? Now, what if you were to live your life with this truth right in front of you for a while? What if you were to stick the new name tag on your mirror so that every morning when you started your day, you'd read, I am the beloved of God? And what if the last thing you read each night before you went to bed was the same thing? What if you did that every day for a few weeks until it finally sunk in? God doesn't just tolerate you. God loves you as dearly as God loves His own Son. People who are loved, who know they are loved, are more kind and gentle and loving and gracious and giving themselves. Knowing you are loved changes the way you live and the way you treat others. So I say, write those words down. Find the cards that are in the chair with you. Take it home. And read it as often as you have to, for as long as you have to, until you too have it memorized and you too can say it to yourself. I am precious in God's sight and honored, and God loves me. Say that when you've blown it again. Just take the words out and read them. When you don't want to get out of bed in the morning because of all that you have to face, take the words out and read them. Read them when you're tempted to sin or tempted to lash out in anger at someone or deceive someone or use someone, when you're afraid or worried or alone. You are the beloved of God. Remember and feast on words that give life, on words that give meaning to life. Yes, my name is Kim. I am a sinner, but that is not all that I am. I am also the beloved of God, and so are you. Each and every one of you are precious in God's sight and honored, and God loves you. Think on that this week, and may you find them to be words and food for your soul. Amen.
So I got a letter from my homeowners association about some violations, and it got me thinking. I think I treat God like he's the head of the HOA. Follow me with this. HOAs have a bunch of rules. If you play by the rules, everything's great. But one little slip up, here come the violation letters. I got a trash bag in my tree. Need to weed my plants. I gotta put my address on my mailbox. My fence wasn't approved. I'm always walking on eggshells worrying that I might do something wrong or get fined. But God doesn't work this way. He's not sitting on his throne waiting for me to mess up. Grace and mercy are his style. You know, grace, unmerited favor, like I basically can do nothing to deserve it. God loves me unconditionally. There's no strings attached. God loves me even though I've got a bag in my tree, even though I need to weed my plants. He is so patient with me. Through his love, he nudges me on and encourages me to work on these things. So, no violation letters, just God's unending grace. Who is God to you? Is he a rule maker? Or is he a grace giver? You decide.
All through the scriptures, our God of grace, in human form, Jesus, dined over and over again and was criticized because he ate and drank with sinners. Thank God Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners. And because he does, I invite you now, I invite our servers to come, and then I invite you to come and receive this meal, proof that Jesus abides with us and loves us and loves us still. Amen. You have this mighty God who loves you with an undying love that makes it easy to live this week. I pray this week is filled for you with reminders of God's great love for you. Go in his name. Amen.